What a beautiful song. Every year as we go to camp, we sing that song, and it always encourages me, especially the last part, until I am a Lamb of God, humble, docile, willing to be instructed, guided, nourished, everything that God would have us to be. Tonight, we're going to talk for a few minutes on the grace of God explained. What is God's grace? It's a great subject of the Bible. As a matter of fact, you can't have the Bible without grace. What a beautiful God that we serve. You know, the more that I study this and continue to look at it, I'm very thankful that God loved us so much that He extended His grace. In John 1, in verse number 17, the Bible there teaches that the law came by Moses. The grace, the truth, came by Jesus Christ. Your version, English-wise, will not say the grace, the truth, but your Greek Bible will say that. The ultimate truth, the actual grace, the actual truth, the ultimate grace. Everything culminates into the man, Christ Jesus. But when we consider this grace, first of all, we have to set the record straight. According to 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, as we take our time and ponder these things for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, the Bible there teaches us that God is the God of all grace, which means that all grace belongs to God. All of it. If a man or a woman was to extend that grace to someone else, they could not extend it unless they first got it from God, because all of it belongs to Him. But what is grace? According to Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, here we understand something that's very interesting about Noah. Here the Bible teaches us very clearly that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Number two, we see that Noah was a just man. Noah was upright in all of his generation. Noah walked with God. Three things that we see there. Noah found grace, meaning he found favor. Noah was a man who was just, meaning that he was upright. He was separate. Noah was perfect, meaning that he was blameless. And Noah walked with God, meaning he was in His presence. A few things we see there already concerning grace. But this doesn't tell us the definition of grace. If I could wrap grace up from a Hebrew perspective, it means acceptance, favor, beauty, charm, delight. Those words really ought to give us great joy. As a matter of fact, most of the world do not possess these attributes. Charm, favor, acceptance, beauty, delight. In Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 17, we go under the Mosaic covenant. We were just under the patriarchal covenant, but under the Mosaic covenant, we see this idea right here as well. Notice what your Bible here has to say. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider this nation is your people." Notice what God says. "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Now, there are some things, friends, that we can see under the patriarchal system with Noah, and here also under the Mosaic system with Moses and the children of Israel. We see some things that are consistent. Number one, if a person is going to obtain grace with God, favor with God, acceptance, delight, charm, elegance with God, he or she must first be in God's presence. That's number one. Number two, those individuals or that individual must be a separate people. God himself has nothing to do with sin. Sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59:1-2. So here we must be talking about separate from sin or separate from those things that are an affront to God. Number three, God has to know them by name. Friends, we see the same thing in the New Testament in 2 Timothy 2:19. We see the same idea in 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 2 Corinthians 7:1. Many people today say that they are living by the grace of God. But let's go to the New Testament. For when we understand the New Testament grace, friends, nothing changes. In 2 Timothy 2:1, notice what Paul tells young Timothy, his son in the gospel. In 2 Timothy 2:1, this is ironclad. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is where? In Christ Jesus." This is why I bring up 2 Timothy 2:19. "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure, having this seal." Meaning you can see it. "Lord knows those who are his. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Friends, we see under the patriarchal system, we see under the Mosaic system, and we see under the Christian dispensation that, number one, you have to be in the presence of God. Number two, you have to be a separate people. And number three, God has to know you by name if you want to be a people who are a partaker of God's grace. New Testament. What is grace? Notice the definitions that Strong's gives us for grace. Grace is the Greek word charis, hands or giving. That which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, goodwill, loving kindness. Listen to this. Merciful kindness by which God exerts his holy influence upon the souls of men, thus turning them toward God or toward Christ through his word, keeping them, strengthening them, increasing them in the Christian faith. It is the spiritual condition of one governed by the power of divinity. It is a token of proof, a benefit, thanksgiving. But how is this done? Those are some powerful definitions right there. In Titus 2:11, notice what your Bible says. Titus 2 is the next book over. How is this grace given? Bible teaches us that God's grace has appeared to all men. Notice verse number 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation, that's key. Salvation is deliverance from sin, has appeared to all men. We have a problem. God's grace has appeared to all men, but Mike, all men are not saved. That's a very interesting concept right there. Here, God's grace, Jesus Christ, God's grace, the gospel, God's grace, his instruction, has appeared to all men, but we got a problem. All men are not saved. That doesn't mean that all men, that God doesn't want all men to be saved. We have two passages that are clear as day. The first one we have is in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, where the Bible says that God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Then we have another one in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9, where the Bible is explicit that God is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. So here we know that God wants all men to be saved, and that's not even going to the golden text, John 3:16. Nothing wrong with John 3:16, but it's an easy passage to go to. But when you go to those other passages that have a little bit more of the obscurity to it, and you bring it to light, God wants all men to be saved, but he's going to do it through the knowledge. Knowledge. Notice verse number 12. God's grace has appeared, that brings salvation, has appeared to all men. Notice what God's grace does. Teaching us, literally instructing us, that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Notice where? In this present age. Friends, what does God's grace do? It teaches us. What does it teach me to do? It teaches me to be a separate person from sin, that God may know my name, because I am in the very presence of God. Now, we get these general definitions of grace, unmerited favor. There's a lot of truth to that. However, the Bible, Brother Pope Joy, has a very clear distinction of what God's grace is. We do have unmerited favor. Let me give you a good example. Genesis 3 and verse 15. That's unmerited favor. Man sinned, God says, I'm going to take care of it, and it's going to have nothing to do with you. But then we have merited favor. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship. Watch it now. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Merited. So here you have unmerited favor, has nothing to do with you. Merited favor, meaning you got to do something, which is obedience, in order to obtain this grace and maintain it. That's very interesting. God's grace, God's favor, God's delight. All right. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this. How does God's grace connect us with Jehovah? Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through verse 25. Friends, this is powerful. And it's amazing. It's sitting right underneath our noses. We hear our denominational friends always say, I'm saved by the grace of God. Yet, we find them living in sin. Hold on. I cannot be saved by God's grace if I'm living in sin. I can't be saved by God's mercy if I'm living in sin. Why? Because God's grace teaches me, it instructs me to leave sin alone. What does that mean? That means that if I find myself living a sinful life, I find myself divorced, separate from God, from Christ, and the only ones that are going to be saved are the ones who are in Christ where the grace is. Which means that if a person is not in Christ, or if a person is not living according to the instructions of Christ, they put themselves outside of grace, which means that they put themselves outside of salvation. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. Notice this very powerful point concerning God's grace and the gospel message. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, which means that a person can be saved outside of the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith, literally through trust in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. Here it is. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Remember, last week we had Brother Mosier here and brought on an excellent point. Friend is not talking about us today. He's talking about those under the patriarchal system, those under the Mosaic system. They all sin. They both sin. And now we have a system where man can be saved in. Verse 24. Notice this. Being justified, meaning being freed, being declared right freely by his grace. Talking about the gospel system through the redemption. Now, friends, this here is very powerful. Here, we understand that God was going to be bringing forth a payment, a ransom system, in order to save man from his sins. And that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a mercy seat, a propitiation. How? By his blood. Question. Is God's grace and the blood of Christ connected to one another? You better believe it is. Which means that if I'm going to be a recipient of the grace of God, I must then go through the blood of Christ. How? Through faith. To demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed, so forth and so on. Question. Is Jesus Christ man's mercy seat today? You better believe he is. How can man approach God? Only through the mercy seat. How does a sinful man approach a holy God? Only through Jesus Christ. John 14 and verse number 6. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Now we think about this. How was those under the Mosaic system able to approach God and able to commune with God? Only through the mercy seat. Only through the sacrifices of the blood of bulls and goats that look forward to the ultimate sacrifice in Jesus Christ. Friends, when we stop and we consider the grace of God, 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 1, as we looked at earlier, Jesus Christ was going to be the one that was going to bring forth this grace, this favor, this delight. And friends, this ought to do something to our minds. I don't know about you, but it just feels good when you know that you have favor with people, especially certain people, especially the one that you go to bed with. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyhow, why is that important? Because we don't want to be at odds with those in whom we love. Question. Do we really want to be at odds with the God we love? No, we don't. We want to be in favor with God. We want to be accepted by God. But how is one accepted by God? Look at Romans chapter 5 and look at verse number 1. Jesus being raised for our justification. Keep in mind, being raised. Raised from what? Raised from the dead. Raised from the dead. But look at verse number 1. Therefore, having been justified. That goes back to Romans chapter 4 and verse number 25. Justified, declared right, Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. By faith, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access. This is very interesting. We have access. The idea of us having access is in what you call the perfect active indicative, which means this, means that in order for a person to come into a relationship with Christ, it started with the relationship, it continues with the relationship, and those who access God will have to do the same thing that those who did before. Which means that a person cannot access the grace of God unless they go through Jesus Christ. That's the way that it was on the day of Pentecost. That's the way it was yesterday. And that's going to be the same way 100 years that the world keeps going. By access. By faith. Notice where? Into this grace. Question. Do we truly want to be in the grace and favor and delight of Almighty God? The answer is yes. And most of the world wants that delight, that favor, that access, that acceptance. In the world that we live in, this is nothing new. People have always tried to be accepted by either a person or a group of people. And unfortunately, even during the time of Paul, according to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart desire and prayer for Israel that they all may be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Here it is. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have did what? They sought their own form of righteousness in order to be saved." And friends, people are still doing that today. They're coming up with their own grace system in order to be accepted by God. And the only way that we can be accepted by God is accepting the grace system that He has offered. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we want to be accepted by God? Well, this is what we ought to be asking our friends. Do you want to be accepted by God? Do you want that delight? Do you want that security? Do you want to be one who has favor with God? The answer is yes. But then you have to be accepted the right way, and you have to be connected to Jehovah the right way. The right way. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, notice, we can even approach the grace of God. "Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Notice this. "Let us therefore come boldly," literally, "honestly." Let us come honestly to the throne of grace in order that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now notice this. If I come honestly to the grace of God, to the grace of God's throne, if I come honestly, I will not leave empty handed. Now notice what I'm going to obtain when I approach the throne of grace. I'm going to obtain mercy, meaning that God is not going to give me what I deserve. I'm going to obtain grace, which means God is going to give me favor to help when I really need it. And friends, we need to know that we have God's favor. We need to know we've been accepted by God. And friends, when we know that we have been accepted by God, it really doesn't matter who accepts us or not on the earth. And I know this for a fact, because Jesus Christ was rejected in so many ways, and even by those who were in his own circle. But he knew that his God was with him. He knew that his Father was with him. And we need that as well. We need to know that as well. I leave you with one point. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. And we're going to be looking at some more points of grace in the next few weeks. It's over 150 verses concerning God's grace. And we're only dealing with the grace from God to man. We're not even looking at the grace from man to man. I could bring up Jacob and Esau easily. But in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 through 15, notice what your Bible here has to say. "Now, when these things had been thus prepared, a priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part of the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sin committed in ignorance." The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all, listen to this, "was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation. But Christ came as high priest of good things to come, with the greater and the more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, obtaining eternal redemption. Let's stop there real quick. Jesus went into the Holy of Holies with his own blood in order to give us eternal redemption, literally to give us grace, to give us favor, that we can obtain acceptance with God. There's not a man or a woman that can be accepted by God unless they go through the blood, unless they go through the grace. Because that's where it's located. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, notice, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, Jesus, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Friends, that's a powerful text, that Jesus Christ paved the way for us with his blood, with his sacrifice, in order for us to obtain the favor with God, and no one can obtain that favor unless they go through him. What a good God we serve. No wonder when you think of the sprinkling of the blood of the covenant and of the people in Exodus 24, and here we find the blood of the covenant, the new covenant, Matthew chapter 26, and how we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. And we understand that when we come in contact with the blood, God is operating on us. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. And when God operates on our hearts, he cleanses our conscience from dead works, because we come in contact with the blood. And because of the blood, we have the grace. They go hand in hand. Question, why wouldn't a person want to be baptized in order for them to come in contact with the blood, in order for them to be inside of the grace? Which teaches us that when a person is baptized into Christ, he or she then obtains the grace that has been exposed to them, that has been appeared to them. And now when they come in contact with that blood, God says, now I declare you clean. You're favorable. I think sometimes we give people favor who don't deserve the favor. They haven't done nothing in order to obtain the favor. If a person won't obey God, at least at this particular juncture in life, we got to ask them, why not? Don't you want to be in favor with God? We want to be in favor with those on the social media, like my post. We want to be in favor with our spouse, and there's nothing wrong with that, but not to the detriment of our own souls. We want to be in favor with those at our school or on our job, but if it's going to cause me to have a separation between me and God, then I would rather have the grace, the favor with God than with anybody else. This is part one. Part two gets even better. And friends, I challenge you, use your Strong's, your Blue Letter Bible, whatever device you may have, whatever books you may have, and you look up the word grace, and you look at how that word is used. And friends, those under the old covenant and those under the new covenant, when they knew that they had God's favor, they could press forward with great confidence. This is why I believe the Hebrews writer says, you come boldly, you come honestly, and I guarantee you, you will not leave empty handed. You'll have the mercy and the grace to help in time of need. Have you accessed the faith of the grace of God? We access that grace when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. What about our friends and family? We need to be teaching them and instructing them in the grace. Which teaches us, friends, that I can't alter the message of the gospel and believe that I have God's grace. People need to obey the gospel. Maybe a child of God, not a child of God, and you haven't obeyed the gospel. We want you to. We want you to be considering that. Why? Because grace is in Christ. Salvation is in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. The simplicity of the Lord is in Christ. Don't you want to be in Christ? Believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water, and God will take away all of your sins. He will give you a clean conscience. He will declare you to be justified, just as if you never sinned. But maybe you're a child of God and, well, yeah, you've had your sins washed away. But I just don't feel like I'm in God's favor. You know, sometimes we feel that way. But keep in mind, feelings are based upon what's going on in our hearts and in our minds. And friends, we can have assurance that we have God's grace when we just stay with what He has said as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.